zombies are dead. Quit holding out and draw another breath. You're tuned to New Sound Radio 92 FM. This is the Community Hour, and I'm Pete Dane. Now, recent surveys have shown there's been a sharp decline in religious belief in Britain. Well, is this the sign of moral decay, and that this is the modern world? People are more concerned about selfish, everyday material things? Or is it an inevitable consequence of modern society where people think for themselves? I don't know, applying human values rather than relying on ancient religious scripts as a basis for a moral code. Now, here to look at these issues, we're joined now live in the studio by Paul Kaufman, Chair of the East London Humanist. Paul, thanks for joining us here on New Sound Radio 92 FM.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, I'll tell you what, maybe this is the easiest question in the world, or maybe it's the most difficult question in the world. What is humanism?
I could talk about it for hours. I'll try to keep
it. Oh dear, I'll tell you what, can we let the Punjabi show know that their show's cancelled?
Humanism has been around for thousands of years. It's basically a way of understanding the world and making sense of the world and thinking about how we should live based on human values, based on human experience, and based on human insights rather than from insights or values which are supposed to come from a god or gods. In the past, it's been difficult to know whether the great thinkers have been religious or not. It wasn't a very good career move to announce, as Galileo did, anything which contradicted the religious orthodoxy.
I think historically what happened there, in fact, I think he held back thinking that he was going to be...
He was imprisoned for his...
Oh, was he imprisoned as well?
Yes.
Okay, right.
But nowadays, a humanist is someone who is invariably an atheist and doesn't believe in God, and we're quite clear about that. But the important point is that it isn't just an absence of belief, it's a very positive belief system. We believe in leading an ethical life, we believe in leading a good life, and very importantly, we believe that this is the only life that we have, which is why it is so important to make the most of it and to make the world a better place here and now, not in some mythical hereafter.
Okay. Can we just sort of pick apart some of the things you said there? I mean, in particular, what you were saying is like you believe in human values.
Yes.
Now, I mean, here we are. We're both sitting here in the studio. Yes. And I think we can all agree that we're both human beings sitting here. But you might have very different values to what I have. Now, who's to say that your human values are they're different. They're better or worse than mine, or vice versa, really. I mean, that's what I don't understand. Human values, what are these human values? Because different human beings have different values.
Over the years, through human experience, we come to understand what makes a good society, what makes us happy. And, of course, these are complicated issues, and these are things which need to be discussed and thought about. But there are basic strands which I think are quite clear and which are commonly accepted as decent human values. So, for example, a common value which is common to all religions or most religions and to non-religious societies is not to do anything to someone else which you wouldn't want them to do to you. It's a very basic
I mean, this idea you should basically be good to one another, you shouldn't
Indeed.
Steal. But
yes.
even things, if you come to sort of like basic things, like you shouldn't kill. I mean, if you go around and you ask people, should you kill one another?
Yes.
People say, no, you shouldn't. But what you find is most societies, not all, most societies and most religions under different circumstances will actually condemn. They say, well, you can kill people. You can go to war. Shouldn't kill people, but it's okay to go to war, and that involves killing people. We don't believe in killing people, but we believe in capital punishment. We don't believe in killing people except under certain or only in self-defence. So there's always all these riders on these things. And although I accept what you're saying is, there's a human value. Human life is important, and you shouldn't be going around taking other people's lives. And most people would agree with that. Most religions would agree with that. There's all these different exceptions to it as well. I mean, how do you work out which exceptions you do or don't accept?
The point really is that you work it out through rational discussion and debate rather than through trying to interpret scriptures which were written thousands of years ago in very different times.
Mm.
And we see the confusion among religious people about whether it's right or not to kill. I'm actually, personally, I'm a pacifist. I can't see any circumstances where it's right to take life. I'm shocked at how lightly some people of faith treat life. One of the people I credit for making me an active humanist is Tony Blair, who is a man of faith and took us to war and is responsible, in my view, for a huge amount of suffering and loss of life, and yet maintains a very strong religious belief. I don't think that religious belief is a guarantee of being decent to other people or respect for life. My respect for life comes from the fact that I believe this is the only life we have, and taking life is just such an awful thing.
And should be done under any circumstance. And it's interesting as well that, I mean, even most armies have chaplains and people like that as well, don't they, as well?
Well, that's a very interesting point. And a bone of contention, the taxpayer pays for chaplains in the army, in universities, in hospitals, and so on. I would like to see some pastoral support from people who are non-religious as well.
Okay. Well, you're saying that there should be like a humanist chaplain? I wouldn't call him a chaplain. I don't know what you'd call him.
Well, there are different times in people's lives when we need support to help us get through a difficult situation. There's no reason why only religious people are able to help in that way.
I mean, I agree. Yeah, I can see that. I mean, yeah, but people should need someone who they can identify with and identify their belief system and things like that. Now, somebody would say, humanists, I mean, you're against religion. Would you say you're against religion? You're anti-religion?
I am happy to tolerate people practicing their religion. I've got nothing against people who want to do that. What humanists object to is the privilege which religions enjoy, which I'm happy to go into in lots of detail, and also the influence which they exert quite unfairly on the lives of other people.
So, what do you mean exactly?
Well, there are so many examples, it's hard to know where to start, but if you take contraception, there's a dreadful situation at the moment where thousands of people are dying and suffering from AIDS, and there should be a campaign to use condoms to help prevent all the loss and the suffering which results from this. It's really, in my view, none of the business of the church or other religious organisations to tell people that they shouldn't be taking these preventative measures. I just use that as one example.
Yeah. But also, as well, I mean, I'm just thinking, in terms of, there is kind of a bit of a radical wing, though, of the secular movement. I'm not saying that you're part of this, whether, you know, there's been these things of very sort of like well-advertised things or well-publicised things. Things like, say, people being banned from wearing their crucifixes at work and things like that. I mean, where do you stand on that? There's some court cases even been over things like this. So we took it in general rather than these specific things.
There are court cases going on at the moment.
Yeah, so we won't talk about them for legal reasons. Yeah.
Right.
But we're talking in general here about people who say have been banned from wearing crucifixes or banned from wearing a turban, things like that. I mean, where would you stand on that? Do you think people should be allowed to wear their religious symbols proudly if that's what they believe in?
I believe that people should be able to express their religious beliefs. I wouldn't want to interfere with that at all. But there are situations where someone's religious beliefs do clash with the human rights of other people. So, for example, it would be wrong, in my view, for someone to refuse to conduct a gay civil ceremony because they object to homosexuality.
Right, it was the case of the bed and breakfast as well, refuse the gay couple as well, like to stay in their bed and breakfast, sort of issues like that, where somebody's religious belief actually is impacting on somebody else's life and their ability to get on the things.
Precisely,
Okay, I mean, that's a sort of like a difficult one. How about things like schools? Because increasingly you're finding, I mean, particularly in East London, you're finding more and more religious schools. There's the traditional ones, you know, there's the Catholic, there's the Church of England ones. Increasingly now there's more Islamic schools coming up as well. Also, of course, like further out there, you've also got some Sikh schools as well. Where do you stand on that?
Well, humanists feel that faith schools are very divisive. It's an example of religious privilege, again, in that schools, faith schools, are able to discriminate in a way which we simply wouldn't be able to do in any other area of our life. They can choose who goes to their school based on their religion. It means that children grow up not mixing in the way that they would do in a multi-faith school. It means that parents don't get to mingle at the school gate in the way that they might do at a multi-faith school or a non-faith school. And we see it in schools in the area where quite clearly there tend to be monocultural rather than mixed in a number of cases. And in a multicultural society as we have in this area, it is extremely divisive.
I suppose then, though, you kind of move into the... I mean, I understand what you're saying. I mean, it's very clear the way you've made your point there. But there's, of course, there's also the issue of, like, say, well, I come from a Jewish family. I want my children to be brought up and to go to a Jewish school, or I come from an Islamic background and I want my children to be brought up in the Islamic tradition. If you say to them they've got to go to a multi-faith school, I mean, actually, you're impacting on their human rights, aren't you?
I wouldn't do anything to prevent parents who want to bring up their children of faith doing so. But I don't see why I should pay, or all of us should pay, for schools to bring up children in a particular...
Would you ban them? Would you ban faith schools? Might make it illegal? I mean, you could do that. There's no law. I mean, you could introduce a law which did that.
I think that's a very hypothetical question.
Well, you're not Prime Minister.
I'm not Prime Minister. It's fair to say that in France, for example, there is a system called laïcité where schools are strictly non-religious, and I think it has made a big difference there.
Okay.
So I would certainly prefer to see a system like that. Unfortunately, there is no one at the moment campaigning against faith schools apart from a very few organisations, one of which is the British Humanist Association.
Right, okay, yeah. Okay then. Do you think then that humanists yourself, do you think you've been discriminated against historically, you know, and today even?
I've had a very privileged life in many ways.
I don't mean you personally. I mean the way that humanists themselves, because you're a humanist, do you think there's ways that you discriminate? I was thinking in particular, I'll tell you what, I read something in a local paper recently about the cenotaph. I'm thinking
of. That is an interesting example. The ceremony every November involves all the religious groups that there are. I think a total of 15 religious groups were represented at the last Remembrance Day service. And for the third year running, the British Humanist Association asked if we could participate. Incidentally, there is a services branch of the Humanist Association, so we are represented in the services. And we were refused the opportunity to take part on the grounds that there wouldn't be enough space.
Are you that big? You're all overweight, are you?
Interestingly enough, the Zoroastrians took part.
They're very small.
I'm not sure they're one of the larger religious
groups
that we have. So it's quite clearly a case of prejudice. But
do you see yourself as a religion, though? I mean, you can't really see yourself as a religion, though, can you? Maybe is that the basis that they do it, or do you think they just don't like you? Why do you think it is?
I think an awful lot of people find the idea of anyone who doesn't believe in any God just very hard to understand. And there's a greater dislike among some people of someone who's a non-believer than of people who have a completely different religion. Mm. It's just the idea that we don't believe in a God is something which some people find shocking and unacceptable.
I know actually there's some, I mean, I don't know about Newham. I know in some other London ones, I'm thinking particularly in terms of Tower Hamlets, I know there's an interfaith forum there, which make a very specific thing of saying there are people of faith and people of no faith at all. That's kind of part of their sort of their mantra, if you like. You know, they say who we are, how they identify themselves. In Newham, there's not quite the same interfaith forum. They kind of fell apart at one stage. I think they're kind of coming back together now again. I don't know. Have you ever had anything to do with them at all? Or?
We've not been involved in the local interfaith.
I mean, it's not very big enough. No. Yeah, like I said, I think it was running and then it fell apart. I don't know exactly what happened, but yeah.
I did ask to take part in, there's a faith page in one of the local papers, and the editor would have none of it. He, he said we simply don't belong on the faith page, which I found a bit disheartening and unfair, but that's the prerogative of the editor.
Well, yeah. Okay, I'll tell you what. One final thing. We've got to go to the break now, one final thing, though, If there's one reason you think that people should, I don't know, adopt humanist values and human values rather than religious beliefs and values, what would you say that is? What do you think the reason is?
It's so important, given that we have only one life, to make the most of what we have here and now and not hope that somehow, some time in the future after we've gone, it's all going to be better. And I just find it upsetting to think how many people don't make the most of what we have here and now. It's a fantastic privilege to be alive, to understand or start to try and understand the universe and all the scientific discoveries, and there are so many opportunities and possibilities now. And if you simply think, well, this is some sort of rehearsal and it's all going to get better later on, then you're wasting what is your one and only opportunity.
Paul Goffman, Chair of the East London Humanists. Thanks for joining us here on New Sound Radio 92 FM. But you will stay, won't you? Because after the break, we've got kind of on that note, in a way, we've got a special report on the resurrectionists, the people who, well, you better stay tuned and find out about it. It's not for the faint-hearted, though. You'll stay for that, won't you?
Of course.
Okay, stay tuned to New Sound Radio 92 FM.